excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Washington Estate edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford speaking to you already at home, having chose to hold off until I got home to start the podcast. Quick recap of the game. The Bears came out quick, scored 7 points on their first drive, but then slowed down dramatically. And although they got off 2 field goals in the first half, were only able to put up 1 touchdown in the second half for 20 total points. WSU, on the other hand, started off very slowly. In fact, only had 6 points. Midway through the second half, they were able to put up a 3rd field goal to get them to 9 points, and within 4 of the Bears for a 13-9 game with most of the 4th quarter to play. The Bears proceeded to grind out the clock and then scored a rushing touchdown on a long run play by Forsett, putting the Bears up 20-9. Desperation play by WSU managed to get a touchdown on a play that never should have happened, but one that got them from their own end zone down into the Cal red zone and allowed them to score a touchdown, 2-point conversion, and set up for a onside kick with just over 30 seconds remaining. The Bears recovered the onside kick to end the comeback threat and escape with a 20-17 victory. This game is really frustrating, about as frustrating as a game can be for a victory. Starting with the good news, the defense seemed to step up for the vast majority of the game. The end of the game a little bit reminded me of Colorado State, where the defense, after having done so well for so long, let off their guard just a little bit and gave up 2 big plays towards the end of the game that WSU was able to convert into points. One for a field goal and the final one for their touchdown. Both were 50-plus yard plays. But overall, the defense held well, you know, kept WSU to 6 points for the majority of the game. And I don't think we can complain about that, that this is a good enough team that holding them to 6 points, particularly with the blown opportunities the offense left on the table, the defense did a great job of stepping up and getting the ball back in the offense's hands so they'd have another shot at it. The offense, on the other hand, sputtered and sputtered some more and sputtered additionally some more. They should have easily put up 30-plus points, if not 40 points, against this WSU team. They are too good to be blowing these red zone opportunities. And I think the primary problem that we're seeing is they get down into the red zone, and they're just not able to punch it in. And I think a lot of it is play calling. Although I think our young and inexperienced offensive line continues to hurt us. Forsett is not Lynch or Arrington. He's fast, he's nimble, but he's not going to power the ball up the middle. And the most frustrating call of the game was the repeated run up the middles with the ball inside the 5-yard line. Again and again and again. My brother and I were joking, it's as if Tedford's thinking, we've run that play 5 times, the defense must think that we're going to try something different, so let's try it again. And it's just not working. And it's very frustrating to see the Bears not spread out the defense like they do the rest of the time. I felt actually the play calling and the balance and Longshore and the team did pretty good between the 20s. Lots of passes to force Washington State out of their stop the run first defense. As we got into the second half, they ran the ball more, grinding out the clock on a now more tired WSU defense. In many ways, they did a good job. But when they got down into the red zone, they weren't getting touchdowns. And if you look at the big difference between the team that has struggled the last 4 weeks and the team before that, the big difference is touchdown effectiveness inside the red zone. I'm not talking about field goals. Field goals actually have not gone that well because of K's problems with accuracy, but even still, it's not good enough. I think a metric you should be shooting for is in the 50 to 70% range for touchdowns in the red zone and 90 plus percent points in the red zone. And the Cal offense wasn't doing it. In fact, they probably had, what, 5 trips into the red zone? I don't have the statistics in front of me yet. And only scored 1 touchdown. The second touchdown was outside the red zone. And it almost seems the Bears have an easier time scoring from outside the red zone, where things aren't getting cramped and tight. Let's break down things position by position. Quarterback, Longshore is finally getting healthy. It's clear to me. There were only a couple balls he really missed through today. There was one drastically underthrown ball, and he didn't throw a lot of balls down the field, so perhaps there is still some injury issues there that they hid by not throwing formations going down the field, or a lot of them anyway. But he seems to be getting better. His mobility's getting better. He seems to be sliding around the pocket with a little bit more ease. So that was the good factor. And overall, I thought he did an okay job. He seems a little skittish still. Doesn't seem to have a lot of confidence throwing the ball over the middle unless it's third down. Seemed to rely on the out patterns more than I would like to see. Some of that may be play calling, but I think a fair amount of that is also Longshore's going to the easy pass as opposed to picking apart the defense over the middle. But I think he's getting better. I think he will get back into his rhythm now that he's healing up and didn't really injure his leg more this week. I think next week he'll hopefully be back more on his rhythm and doing better. And if he can just focus on getting the ball downfield more effectively and over the middle more effectively, he's going to do better and better. And I think he has the skills to do it. He just really needs to get back to his old self. Running back, Forsett did an okay job. It's hard to judge a running back versus his offensive line. When is the offensive line not opening holes? When is the running back not taking advantage of the opportunities? Really deep in the red zone, I think it really lies more on the offensive line than the running back, particularly the plays that have been called recently. And I think Forsett's doing okay. He could be doing better, he could be doing worse, but he's getting the job done well enough that he's really not to blame with a lot of the things that are going on in the run game. I think most of it is the defenses are just loading the box and forcing Cal to beat them through the air. And once that happened, that opens up the run game. So Forsett, I think, is doing okay. Best is actually seeming to get back to his old self and is providing a good alternate back with all of his great speed. I've been a little frustrated with him the last few weeks, and he didn't seem to have his speed and his intensity that he normally has, but tonight he seemed to get it back. Montgomery only got a little bit of playing time, but did okay. Wide receivers, I thought they did very well, actually. They continue to be the strength of the offense. I don't know if there's some route running problems, and that's perhaps why Longshore isn't comfortable with throwing over the middle, but the wide receivers are making people miss, they're looking for opportunities, they're doing what they need to do, and they're catching some actually marginally thrown balls from Longshore. One of the things that they've really picked up on in the last couple years from when these guys were young is they get the tough ball, and they at least get the 5 yards they can get before trying to extend it. And I think that's experience, because, you know, a young receiver tries to make the more difficult catch, but so that he can keep running with the ball, and ends up dropping it so they get nothing. These receivers, Hawkins, Deshaun, Jordan, they all make sure they get the ball. And if that means they can't get up and go run with it, well, that's just the price they have to pay for a poorly thrown ball. But when they can, they're turning around, they're doing their best to make yards. I think sometimes they're going to the outside more than they should. There were a couple of plays with Deshaun where it felt like there was a seam more into the middle, but he insisted on taking it on the outside, particularly on one of the reverses. But, I mean, that's a hard thing to quibble about. So overall, I feel like the wide receivers are doing a good job. Tight ends continue to not be a big factor in the passing game. I think they're doing a great job in blocking. The fact that Longshore isn't getting sacked goes into the fact that we're keeping tight ends in the pass protection schemes, and so that speaks well to them. But again, it goes into this over-the-middle passing, and the tight ends aren't getting a lot of balls, and I just don't know what's going on there. Offensive line, as I said, hard to tell where things are going. They're doing a great job in their pass blocking, to focus on the positives first. I mean, Longshore is really getting the time he needs to throw most of the time. We're not getting any holding penalties. He did a great job with that tonight. No false starts. Really, actually, in that sense, they shined this week. But I think they are having some trouble opening the running holes for Forsett. And this team, this offensive line, is just not the run-blocking offensive line we've had in years past. They're young. I don't see actually a lot of talent there either. That's one of the bigger worries. I hope some of these young guys coming in can give some additional life, but they're not doing a good job at run blocking. And perhaps they just need some more coaching, but that's really the weakness of the offense's run game, if you ask me. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, defensive line did pretty well getting pressure into Washington State this week. I don't know how weak that offensive line is if they're giving up a lot of sacks. Actually, if memory serves, they're doing fairly well in that department. But they seem to be doing better than they have been in games past. They're getting some pressure. They're hitting their offensive linemen hard, pushing them back, forcing Brink to have to roll out and move around. And they're doing it with the four of them, you know, at least some of the time, which is a big improvement over what we've seen in the past. So I'm very excited about that, and I think they're doing a great job. They also did a pretty good job in run stopping as well, plugging up those holes, allowing the linebackers to clean up when the running back moves into the remaining holes and preventing the big gains. There were a few times where they didn't seal the outside very well on sweep running plays, but overall I felt like they did a good job. Linebackers, this was a stronger game for them than they've had in a few weeks. I think they're finally getting back into things. Follett had a good game. He was getting pressure off the edge on the quarterback when that was his assignment. He was dropping back into pass protection more effectively. And the over-the-middle, underneath patterns weren't there for WSU like they had been for previous teams. And when they were, it was back to short gains that weren't very advantageous, particularly after the first quarter. So I think really the linebackers did a very good job and were balancing that pressure versus run blocking versus going back into coverage and still keeping the bend but don't break, but not giving away the house either. And so I think some balance has come back. I noticed Rowell Williams seems to be playing up a little bit more than in past weeks. I think that has a lot to do with taking away the over the middle. So they did a great job. Secondary, I think they were a little weaker than the other two units. I noticed that Chris Conte was playing a lot at corner, and he's supposed to be a backup. And I don't know what the story is with Hampton and Hicks and how that rotation is working out, because Conti's been playing a lot, and it doesn't seem like Hampton and Hicks are injured. So I'm not sure if the coaching staff isn't happy with what's happening with the experienced guys, or whether Conti's is earning playing time, but he doesn't seem to be playing all that well. So I just don't get what's happening there. Other than that, the rest of the secondary did pretty well. Decoud continues to be a monster, makes some great hits, is in the right places, broke up a lot of deep pass balls, doing wonderful. Sidquan, still my man. I think this guy is going to be great by the time he is a senior. He still doesn't have that knack for the interception like Hughes did or some of the other great cornerbacks before him. But he's getting there. Give him some time. He had one that he should have picked off in the third quarter that just slipped through his hands. And so I think he's getting better at making the adjustment to jump on the ball. He just doesn't have the hands yet, but those will come. Give him time. So I think he's continuing to improve, continuing to show how fast he is. I was disappointed that it was him who got beat on that last big play that, you know, went for 50 yards, because he jumped on the near sack. But some agree he's still young. Give him a chance. He'll get better. So overall, I felt like the players were doing okay. I mean, there's some weak spots. The offensive line is probably the weakest link on the whole team. But I still think the play calling needs some improvement, particularly in the red zone. We need to keep the defense honest. And it's just not happening. We're running the ball into the middle too much. And the rest of the game, that we've seemed to have gone away from that, the pass-rush balance felt very good to me most of the time. There were some moments where I was frustrated with their inability to throw over the middle and stuff like that. But overall, I mean, there was enough balance there that I felt good, and there's some pros and cons to different strategies, and I'm not going to be critical of that. But they're running it into the middle inside the 5-yard line. It's just baffling to me that this is continuing to happen. And I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. A couple last points to bring up. Three sitters are still there. Don't seem to be causing anybody any trouble. Of course, we have the court injunction that allows us to remove them, but we're not going to do it until the bigger case wraps up. The word on the street, of course, is that we've asked the judge not to make a ruling on the big case until after the USC game. We just don't want the political strife and the potential inflammable situation that would come up if a ruling were made before the last game. So I'm hoping that the judge is pretty much ready with a ruling, or will be in a week, and is just waiting for the USC game to pass and maybe a few more days, and we'll hear something hopefully well before the big game, but maybe around the time of the Washington game. But hippies continue to be of very little concern, not causing a lot of problems. And I think that's great that the police officers and the university staff have done a good job of managing that, keeping them out of the press, keeping things minimal, and waiting for this court decision to come out. Hopefully it'll go the right way and things will be very good for the Bears. And let's be honest. Everyone listening to this, tell me whether you would win that court case or beat USC. I'd rather win that court case. The long-term future of the Bears rests on the court case. We can lose to USC next week, and nobody's going home hungry. Referees felt they did a pretty good job, other than the fact that our head referee, when he got on the microphone, didn't have the best cadence. We were laughing about this in our seats. Timeout. Pause, 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 pause. Washington. Pause. State. It just cracked us up. It was like he was reading off a cue card and he couldn't figure it out. But I mean, that's neither here nor there, just a humorous aside. But I think the referees did a pretty good job. The one play I'm pretty sure they blew And maybe there was something, that, you know, with the Jumbotron being so far away I couldn't see. But that two-point conversion was not good. He was not in the end zone. And it might have just been there wasn't enough video evidence to overturn it, but every indication from what I saw on the Jumbotron is that he didn't get in. So I'll review that on film and perhaps put up a couple of frames that show conclusively that he didn't make it in. But I could be wrong. Been wrong before. Looking forward to next week, Cal will not beat USC if they play like they did this week. However, if they can get their red zone effectiveness back on track and get just that little bit more clicking on offense, they'll have a shot. But they need to take that next step. They need to take advantage of their opportunities. It killed them last year against USC that they didn't take advantage of their opportunities, and it will triply kill them if they do as horrible of a job of it as they have the last few weeks. They need to get clicking again on offense. They need to make sure the majority of those red zone opportunities turn into touchdowns, not field goals, and they need to continue moving the ball between the 20s like they have been. I feel like the balance is there, the talent is there, the play calling is improving. They just need to take that next leap. As frustrating as this game was, it wasn't that far from where it needs to be. And if the defense plays that way again, I think the Bears are going to do very well. It'll give the offense plenty of opportunities to turn around the problems that they've had. But this performance won't do it. It has to be better than the WSU performance. It's just, the good news is the tools are there. And hopefully a good week of practice and Longshore being healthy and all of those things moving forward will make it so this team will click more effectively next week. That wraps up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, and I'll be reporting to you on the way home from the USC game next week. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you then. On the road again.